If you're familiar with the Jewish calendar, and by the way, it's okay if you're not, but if you are, you'd know that right now is that time of year called the High Holidays, a time of year when Jewish people celebrate some of the holiest days on their calendar, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Bob Mendelson is the founder of Jews for Jesus Australasia, based in Sydney, and he's with me in the studio now to enlighten us on what these holidays mean. Bob, welcome.
Shalom, Claire.
Now, assuming there's people listening who aren't so familiar with the Jewish tradition, can you give us, I guess, the dummy's guide to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur?
That they're even called the High Holidays is not a biblical term. It's one that's grown by convention throughout the modern world. They're not too far off. There were three biblical major feasts. They are Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. But there were seven appointments, if you will, listed in Leviticus 23. And those include Numbers 5, Rosh Hashanah, and 6, Yom Kippur. And those 10 days in which we find ourselves just now are the holiest days of the year because of number 6, because of the Day of Atonement. There are two chapters, Leviticus 16, Leviticus 17, where God gave massive instruction, a long list of what to do on Yom Kippur, by the which Jewish people could be somewhat comforted and assured of atonement, none of which we do today. Today, most Jewish people would celebrate Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. We eat apples and honey. We have a challah, that's a round loaf, usually more rectangular on the Sabbath, but during these 10 days, actually during the first month of the year, we have a round one to remind us that God is wearing a crown. He's the king. All of our prayers are about God as king, the just one who will judge righteously, even judge my family and your family and, me. So that's what Rosh Hashanah is about. It's the Yom Teruah, the day of the blowing of trumpets, and that's all it is, according to Leviticus 23. In the long unpack of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, it's a fascinating drama, if you will, with two goats and blood and sprinkled on altars and the white linen this and that, that the high priest only can go into the Holy of Holies, this special little compartment room that's pitch black. And so the whole drama, I say, is fantastic, but not done anymore, because we have no temple. We have no high priest. We have no mediator. We have no blood. So what do? We have this idea of fasting and fervency and litanizing our prayers and saying, yeah, that'll work. But it doesn't work. Mm. And that's the sad thing. You get so much energy and so much passion in the synagogue and around the globe, not just here in Sydney, but really worldwide among Jewish people, fervent to beat our breast and say, Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Goralnu, well, I've sinned in this regard, in that regard. I mean, it takes hours. Imagine listing your own sins, Claire. You would take hours. Me, I'd take days. But on that day, we as a people announce all of our sins together. And then we hope. Really, I guess if there were a punctuation mark at the end of our consideration, it would be a question mark.
Mm. I looked up on Wikipedia, the source of all wisdom, about these holidays, and it said, at the end of Yom Kippur, one hopes that they have been forgiven by God.
And it's a hope kind of like a teenage girl waiting on a Saturday afternoon for the year 12 formal telephone call. It's not coming. It would have come weeks ago. So it's a hope that's false hope, and it's dashed, and it's hopeless. Mm. So I say the punctuation mark is a question mark.
And so the difference with following Jesus is that Jesus has done this work for us of being, I guess, punished for the sins and taking away the guilt. And this is the difference between just hoping falsely and putting faith in something that's very sure.
Yeah, hope is an anchor for our souls, the scripture says. And so it is faith in the future. Mm. There's no doubt in hope. Mm. Whereas the wishful thinking of Wikipedia is really what they mean. And that's so disappointing. Mm. The scripture says hope does not disappoint. Mm. Why? Because God in Yeshua has accomplished all that. He's been the mediator of the new covenant. He is the one whose blood has forgiven us our sins. Mm-hmm. And into him, not into some lofty ceiling, we have confessed our sins.
Okay. So just in wrapping up, how can the average Christian chat to a Jewish person at this time of year? Is there something that we can say, a type of conversation we could have?
There are several things you want to do. Number one, be in prayer for Mrs. Goldberg and Dr. Cohen. Make sure that you care about that person and that you know that God knows that he cares. And so you and God are praying together about that person. Make sure that you have sent a Rosh Hashanah, a New Year's card, to that Jewish friend. I mean, why not? Mm. We do that in January. We say Happy New Year all the way till school starts. So you can still do that. And I think that's an appropriate thing to say to the Jewish person. Being Jewish is not a sin from which you have to repent. It's okay. I love you. Here's Happy New Year to you. And I imagine if you really want a hook line, just be careful that it's not something you learn at a seminar and you can use on a Jew, because that's a horrible way to go.
It's not the right heart.
It's a dangerous heart, and it's love for the sake of getting something. And when you do that, that's prostitution. Mm. So love them because they're worthy of love. A hook right now might be this. You're going to pray on Yom Kippur all day. You're going to fast. You're going to want God's forgiveness or something. Here's a question. Honestly, at the end of the day, do you feel forgiven of your sins? And if a Jewish person will be honest with you, 95% of them will say, wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, that's a great idea. I don't know. Or I don't even believe in God. Or I'm not sure that God exists. Or God probably wouldn't forgive me. I've done so much bad. So basically, we as Jews in the synagogue on Yom Kippur are looking to God as the accountant who will measure our good deeds versus our bad deeds and distribute to us in measure. But if we're honest about ourselves, we don't want an accountant. We want a grace giver. So that's where I would say most Christians could and maybe should start with their Jewish friends. I remember a man named David who lives here in the North Shore who gave his life to the Lord at a synagogue service that we ran some years ago on Yom Kippur, where he heard the message and he had been studying with us, been reading the Bible with us. His objections were all sociological, not theological. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that Jesus wasn't the Messiah or that he wasn't the Lamb of God or he didn't fulfill messianic prophecy, but wait, am I still going to be Jewish? That is a huge thing for most Jewish people. Mm-hmm. David came through. He's now a leader in his church. He's doing great.
Mm, wonderful. Well, Bob, thanks so much for the chat and for enlightening us and filling us in and giving us, I guess, some really good advice on how we can chat to our Jewish friends and understand their walk. If you're listening and you'd like more info, go to jewsforjesus.org.au. Bob, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for letting me come. Shalom.